Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 26. In this chapter, we have the conclusion of Moses' second sermon with directions for two liturgical ceremonies that were to be carried out by the children of Israel when they entered the land of Canaan. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, My father was a Syrian or Aramean about to perish. They went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord, God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you, and your house, you and the Levites, and the stranger who is among you. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 26, with some background notes. Deuteronomy chapter 26 concludes the second sermon of Moses given to the children of Israel on the plains of Moab before they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. This second sermon largely reviewed the many laws of the Mosaic Covenant. The content of the sermon really ended in chapter 25, and now here in chapter 26, we have directions for two rituals or liturgical ceremonies that the children of Israel were to carry out when they entered the good land that God was giving them. In verse 1, we read, And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, and now come instructions for the two rituals or ceremonies in the verses that follow. Number one, the ritual for first fruits in verses 2 through 11, the verses that we just read. And number two, the ritual for the third year tithe in verses 12 through 15. Now, there is some question as to whether these rituals were to be carried out only once when they entered the land, or were they to be carried out year by year as they possessed the land that the Lord God had given them. I take the position that these ceremonies were to be continued, but in either case, our doctrinal points hold true. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 26. So doctrinal point number one, the Lord's people should remember their roots. The Lord's people should remember their roots. In Leviticus chapter 23, we read of the Feast of First Fruits, which was celebrated soon after the Passover. I'm reading from Leviticus chapter 23, beginning with verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. And its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. From Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 14. The Feast of First Fruits anticipated the full harvest to come and consecrated the entire harvest to the Lord. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 26, we see another aspect or added dimension to the Feast of First Fruits. It was not only a consecration and pledge of the harvest to come, but it was a reminder of their roots as a nation. When they brought the basket of first fruits before the priest, they were to say, as we see here in verse 2, they were to say, "My father was a Syrian or Aramean about to perish." That is Jacob, who spent years in the area of Padan Aram. "And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number," that is 70. "And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous." Verse 5. They were to remember their harsh treatment in Egypt. Verse 6. But also they were to remember God's great deliverance. Verses 7 and 8. "And provision of the good land of promise, a land that flowed with milk and honey, evidence of a very productive land." Let's read those verses once again. Verses 6 through 9. "But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Again, a land flowing with milk and honey, evidence of a very productive land. This ritual of remembering their roots was to be accompanied by worship and rejoicing. Verses 10 and 11. "And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you." Verses 10 and 11. So they were to remember their roots. We too should remember our roots. Now notice the spiritual lessons here. We once were wandering and about to perish and in bondage to sin. But we have been redeemed and delivered and saved out of the house of bondage. And we've been brought into a land of blessings in the heavenlies. Read Ephesians chapter 1 in this connection. What a great spiritual picture we have here. Let us never forget, the Lord's people should remember their roots. Doctrinal point number 2. The Lord's people should remember their responsibilities. The Lord's people should remember their responsibilities. Verses 12 through 15. In these verses, we have the ritual of the third year tithe. Let's read these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning now with verse 12. "When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey." Under the law, the children of Israel were to tithe from their annual income to support the Levites. Every third year, it seems, there was to be a double tithe that was not brought to Jerusalem, but was kept at home to feed the hungry in all the local towns. We first read about this second tithe in Deuteronomy chapter 14. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 28 and 29. Now here in Deuteronomy chapter 26, we have more about this second tithe given every third year to feed the needy throughout Israel. In verses 13 through 15, we see that the children of Israel had to attest before the Lord that they had not kept back this second tithe and that they had not used any of it for unholy practices. As God's people under the law were to remember their responsibility to give the extra tithe to meet the basic needs of the poor, so we who are God's people today have a responsibility to meet the needs of the poor around us. Notice that the responsibility of meeting the needs of the poor with the extra tithe was in addition to the responsibility of supporting the ongoing work of the Lord with the regular tithe. We too should not forget the normal needs of the Lord's work when special needs arise at a time of national disaster or some other crisis, for example. Don't forget your normal responsibilities during times of crisis. The Lord's people should remember their responsibilities. Now, what about practical application from Deuteronomy chapter 26? Put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. Verses 16 through 19. Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning now with verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. In these concluding verses of the chapter, which concludes the second sermon of Moses before they enter the land, God's people are challenged to make good on their oath of allegiance. The Lord would make good on his side of the covenant. Israel would be his treasured possession and honored above all nations if they would put their money where their mouth was, as it were, and be faithful and obedient to the Lord's commands, including the giving of the first fruits and the tithes that are mentioned in this chapter. Now, we know that Israel did not make good on their oath of allegiance. They did not put their money where their mouth was. Now, what about us? We say that we are committed Christians. What about in the matter of our time in God's Word? What about in the matter of our worship and service? What about in the matter of our giving? Do we at least tithe? Put your money where your mouth is.